Thy kingdom come. Now thy kingdom come. That is a phrase and a, concept that Jesus used quite a bit. In different gospels, he used different language. Sometimes he said, thy kingdom come. Sometimes it was described as the kingdom of God. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven. But we have this sense that the kingdom is coming here. And this kingdom is, let's say, it's a way of talking, but to describe a different kind of reality. A reality where the human race and all creation is united with God. United to God so closely. Which began when Jesus came. Began when Jesus came, continues in the church. So we have this kind of interesting sense of how the kingdom is present in our world, but not present fully. It's going to come into its fullness some later day when Christ comes again. It is already, but it is not yet. So it's here, but it's not. There are aspects of this world that we can look at and say, yes, the kingdom of God is near, and there are other aspects where we can say, it's, you know, we're still aiming for it. Kind of like, describe it in terms of, well, this morning, between services, somebody brewed a really good pot of coffee. And it was sitting there in the coffee maker, dripping down, dripping. And I was walking down to the comments, and I go, boy, that smells good. And coffee hour is coming. Coffee hour is really important. It's part of what you do. Continuing the apostles' teaching and fellowship. So I could see that this coffee was brewing and it smelled very good. I'm getting a taste of it. No, but it wasn't quite ready to pour yet. It was already, but not yet. It's like the kingdom is already, but not yet. And it's also, what this does is it gives me a lot of hope. Because I can look at the areas of this world that are not yet. And I know that when it is, the kingdom is here in all of its fullness, those are going to look very differently. You've been looking at the news lately, the major debates that seem to have come up are both abortion and gun control. And I know that it's, you know, as difficult as they are in this present moment, when the kingdom comes in all of its fullness, they're going to look so different. And will be transformed so much that probably we'll be able to look at it. Christ comes again, we are all transformed, and say, why are we arguing so much about that stuff? The solution seems so simple right now, but it is going to be there. A big portion of our gospel this morning is Jesus encouraging people to look forward towards that kingdom. Look past what we are experiencing in today's day and age, and to look forward towards the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. And that requires some sacrifices on our part. It requires, in some cases, that we tolerate being uncomfortable for a little bit, just to create a sense of maybe better comfort than we had before. And also to look past even what we consider familiar right now. Probably one of the biggest places where we really need to challenge ourselves is where Jesus encourages us to look forward past power. The gospel starts off with Jesus walking with his apostles, and they had to pass through Samaria in order to get to Jerusalem. Now, in this time, they had the Holy Land, which is about the size of the state of New Jersey. And in the south, you had Judea, where Jerusalem was. Then north of that, you had Samaria. And the two didn't get along. They looked at one another, and they didn't care for one another. The Samaritans didn't care for the Judeans. The Judeans didn't care for the Samaritans. And then where Jesus was from was even north of Samaria, a place called Galilee. So he had to pass through Samaria in order to get to Jerusalem, get to Judea. And the people there were not thrilled with that. And you might imagine, too, when you see a group of, at least 12, one more, 13 men, perhaps even more, you know, coming down the street, everyone walking together. I know that's an awfully big group. But they're not here causing troubles. So army showed up and needed hospitality and they needed a place to stay, so they applied at a castle whose gates were shut. And, you know, can't remember if it was a castle or a walled city or what have you. And they were applying for hospitality, and the people there running in said, nope. They're quite a problem, and came out because of that. Similarly, the apostles showed up, they were passing through Samaria, they were hoping to find a place to stay. Stay, and they were told, no, cannot stay. You are not welcome. And James and John, the two apostles, which we all know their nicknames, right? Sons of Thunder. Expressing that name to its fullest extent right here, they said, Lord, would you like us to call down fire from heaven and consume them? And in a very highly nuanced response, Jesus looked at them and said, no! That is not what we are doing here. In, I wouldn't say in all fairness, but where James and John were coming from were stories about the prophet Elijah. Now, we heard about Elijah in our Old Testament lesson today. We didn't hear this one. There's another story about Elijah when King Ahaz was trying to go after him and wanted to execute him. So he sent a company of soldiers to meet him, and he was living in a cave somewhere. And they came and they found him and they said, Elijah, man of God, please come with us. The king invites you to come talk to him. And Elijah knew exactly what that meant. He said, if I'm a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you. Fire came down and consumed him. There are some pretty graphic stories like that in Scripture sometimes. It's important to deal with that. But it's also important to understand the work of God towards this end goal of the kingdom of God coming in all of its fullness. Jesus was bringing about the kingdom of God, which is based on peace, about cooperation, about compassion, but all those wonderful fruits of the Spirit that we heard John reading about when he was reading the lesson of Galatians. But that's what the kingdom was about. So in a sense, he was saying to James and John, these sons of thunder, don't worry so much about the power, especially the power that's going to destroy lives. We need to be humble, we need to be serving, we need to be caring. So, especially just because they told us we can't stay here, that's not a good reason to destroy anybody. So no falling down fire from heaven. I think we can all remember that, right? That's a good rule to live by. Don't do that to anyone. In our own world, people seem to also really enjoy their power. It may not be calling down power from heaven, but it may be power in other things. You know, whether it's businesses, whether it's politics, or whether it's just all kinds of things in our world, social media, people like to get their power. They like to be the ones in charge. They like to be the ones that say, I know what's right and everyone else has to bow down to my will. Boy, this world would go a lot better if everyone just agreed with me, don't you think? Oh, good, everyone agrees with me. But that is not the kind of power Jesus brings about in the kingdom. Jesus asks us to look past power for something he did greater. He calls us to look past a few other things as well. Sometimes Jesus calls us to look past the familiar. After this episode, they're continuing along their journey, and a man came to him and said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus made a statement which can only be described as the cost of discipleship. He said, foxes have their dens, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was essentially telling this young man that he didn't have a home. He didn't have a place to call his own, stay. Now, the thing about a home, be it maybe even just a home where you live, but also kind of the surrounding community, there's always a culture there. And the thing about a culture is it becomes very familiar. Sometimes it becomes so familiar that we don't even recognize it. It becomes like the air we breathe. Trying to describe a culture is almost like asking a fish to describe water. Fish just knows there's water, but the fish exists in it. I kind of find myself having this unique experience as years in New Jersey, and then three in Alexandria, and about another 17 now, I think that's what's today. So quite a bit, and I've been able to see these cultures from different places. I was really reminded of it last summer when we went for our annual trip to New York State. Joshua was with me, and we were walking around a shopping mall, and someone walked past us and said, "Danny, that man didn't say hi to us." We're not in the South anymore. Cultures can just be different. But the other thing about culture is it's often a set way of looking at the world, a set of customs, and a set of assumptions. Sometimes they can be very good. You know, having hospitality and friendliness and caring for one another, yes, the kingdom of God is already. If we do ways that ignore our brothers and sisters, we can just be callous towards the needs of others. You know, that can be a place where the kingdom of God is not yet. You know, and sometimes we can just get a sense of where our culture might need to grow when we say something like this: "Well, I know this is not ideal, but it's just the way things are. I know it's not ideal, but it's just the way things are." Jesus was in a unique position, both as the Son of God, but as a human being, to rise above culture, rise above the immediate influences, because he had so few attachments. The foxes have their holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he didn't have the earthly attachments and the earthly demands on him, earthly responsibilities, which left him in a unique place to be able to respond to what his Father was calling him to do. A unique place to speak the gospel even to those places where culture wasn't ready for it, that needed to hear it anyways. But he didn't have a job or children to take care of, even though many of us do, and certainly not everyone is called to that kind of life. What all of us can do, and this is why our regular spiritual practices are so important, hearing scripture and responding, is that though we do have jobs, families, responsibilities for our community, and though we exist within a culture, we have something else as well. We have the message of the gospel, we have the ability to be flexible, and to look at, even though something may be familiar, familiar as water is to a fish, and to look at the gospel and say, yes, there is more. We can look past what is familiar right now to look at what is coming into being, what the kingdom of God calls forth to us. Even though it might be not yet, we can look and anticipate it, hope for it, and be ready. Closely related to looking past the familiar, you can also look past what is comfortable. There was another young man that Jesus encountered who just looked at him and he said, "Follow me." He said, "Yes, come follow me." And he said, "Now let me first say goodbye to my family." Jesus responds with, "No one puts a hand in the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, I will admit, the first time I read this, teenager, I came to this phrase and I read that and I said, "Whoa! His family's gonna miss him. You're gonna wonder what happened. And you're gonna wonder why he left his plow right there in the field. Didn't he have things he needed to do?" It wasn't like James and John who were with their father when Jesus said, "Come follow me," and then they left. Just as an aside, they were fishermen and working on the nets, and he left them to do the nets all by himself. I think some of the words he used at that moment might have garnered this phrase, "sons of thunderous." Zebedee was the thought. So Jesus invited this man and said, "No one who puts a hand on the plow on his back is fit for the kingdom of God." And which is a hard saying. I might say I've come to understand that, again, throughout this whole theme, we don't want to be looking backwards, we want to be looking forwards towards the kingdom of God, which which doesn't mean eschewing family or forsaking our families. Families are important. You know, the Trinity itself can be thought of as a family. But another time, a family is just like a culture. A family can get pretty set in our ways. We know how things are going to play out. A little bit later this week, I'm going to be going back to New York for our annual visit and spending some time with my parents. And I can already anticipate how the conversations are going to go. And I'll probably be out there by the water with my dad, and we'll talk about this, that, and the other things that's going on in the world. I can already hear his tone of voice in my head. You know, it already meant how I'm going to be responding. Probably just use an upstate New York tone that I don't use down here. Work the same way. But there's all this stuff that, in a sense, is very comforting. It can be very comfortable to be in that way of being. But also in looking towards the kingdom of God, to hear all these things that are already here at the places that are not yet, it becomes important to become uncomfortable with the not yet. Be uncomfortable with the ways that you're still growing into the kingdom of God. And we pray it every day, thy kingdom come. And think of it, studying chemistry, it's like any chemical reaction. And a really good chemist will take a certain number of chemicals and put them through a reaction and they turn into another type of chemical. Be it a plastic, be it a pharmaceutical, or what have you. And one of the things I learned is there's always this activation energy. So everything was stable right about here. Stable and stable, and you add the energy to it until it reaches its critical energy, activation energy. And then the reaction just takes place. But it takes that input of energy. It's almost like that when we're anticipating the kingdom of God. We need that point, that extra energy coming in. And even that point where, yes, I'm moving away from what's familiar and what's comfortable because something is coming which is even more familiar. Another way to think of it is, my house, my son really likes popcorn. So we'll make popcorn in the microwave. You start adding the energy to the popcorn, and then at first you open the kernels. And this is microwave popcorn, so we have it in a bag. But you tore off the bag and opened the kernels. And say, okay, I've got all these kernels, and they seem very stable, very familiar. But I'm not going to eat them. So, but you put the bag in the microwave, let it go, and for a long time, nothing seems to happen, does it? Long times when you're waiting for popcorn. But there we are, and then one popcorn pops. And the next one pop. And they start going faster and faster. Pop, 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 pop. And go through that period of uncomfort. You know, to get to something even more comfortable. Boy, it feels better than sitting down with a big bag of popcorn and steaming hot. Boy, that's great. But the kingdom of God is a lot like that. We have those places that are already, and when we come together in fellowship and celebrate sacraments, we experience the kingdom of God here in our midst. And then we have those areas that are not yet, where the world is bickering and fighting, where violence happens, innocent people lose their lives, all this bad stuff. We say the kingdom is not yet. And we pray, thy kingdom. In the kingdom, we look past the comfortable to see something even more so, even better. This kingdom of God is present right now, but not present fully. So we look forward towards it. In all of these episodes that we see with Jesus, he's calling us to look past what we know towards what is coming. We keep our eyes focused on what lies ahead. Because Jesus brought this incredible kingdom close to us. Now, because he was God and man, he brings the kingdom very, very close. So we look forward, and looking forward, we look past things like power and our need to be in control. We look past what's familiar right now for what is actually possible. We look past what is comfortable because we know something even more comfortable is on. This kingdom is coming. We pray thy kingdom come. We wait for it, anticipate it, we look towards it, hope. And in doing this, we make ourselves ready.